The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Hello, Rolien, how are you?
Let me tell you something. Can I just drop the mic for Kathy Kaler? Wowza, Kath! That was quite a statement.
It was, wasn't it?
Why?
No, we all do.
Why was it such a big statement?
I think it's not the statement, it's the way that you articulated it. Mic drop, girl. I bow down.
Don't bow. Just tell us what's happening in Israel, Rolien.
There's a new word that's out in Israel today, Rolien. It's peripatetic, I think it is. Peripatetic. That's apparently what Reuben Rivlin has been talking about, a peripatetic proposal for power sharing. Have you seen that in the Israeli news?
Well, I don't know if it's peripatetic or if he's paralytic, because I think we've just got to a stage where we have to start making plans for our next government. I have heard the term bandied about. But what is very, very important is that Netanyahu, who has been tapped with the massive task of forming a government, gets down to actually doing some work. And with the Chagim coming up this weekend, we kind of are limited with time. So, yeah, peripatetic proposal, says President Rivlin. And basically what we are looking at is how we can have some kind of power sharing model. I think we have a massive complication with this new government, with the indictment charges against Prime Minister Netanyahu that caused a number of complications, one of which being one of them being Gantz, saying that he does not want to enter into a coalition or into an agreement with Prime Minister Netanyahu while he is facing these massive charges. So we are going to have to look at some kind of different style of governorship. We don't want to go towards a third set of elections. Having said that, Spain has had 4 elections and they still can't decide on a government, but we really, really don't want to go that route. And we are looking now to our president, for guidance. So basically what has happened is last night he tapped Prime Minister Netanyahu with the task. He's got 28 days, well now 27 days because we're already out today, of doing so. He faces further complications because we have the Kahova Levan who don't want to come into any kind of agreement with a Prime Minister facing charges. Anyone who's familiar with Israeli politics knows that we've got religious blocks, we've got ultra-right blocks, we've got Arab blocks within having to form this. The only way we seem to be able to move forward is for Gantz and Netanyahu to perhaps share power. How they're going to do this, we have no idea. But this is what we are going to have to negotiate. And then, of course, we've got people like Lieberman, who's abstained from tapping either candidate to run the country. Rumor has it the Likud have said that they are prepared to go into a unity government with a revolving head of state. But we've got Gantz saying, you know, before we even get to talking about portfolios and who does what and the inevitable horse trading that is about to happen, we need to talk tachlis. We need to get to the major issues that face Israeli society. So, yeah, a very complicated job ahead, and we'll have to see if Prime Minister Netanyahu is the man for the job. If not, it could be that President Rivlin will tap Gantz. Yesterday it was rumored that Gantz preferred that Netanyahu have a chance to form a government first. Perhaps it is a tactic. Perhaps he sees, you know, the indictment charges as being a reason why the Prime Minister won't be able to, and he'll be able to come in. If Gantz is tapped and he fails, we go to a third set of elections.
Nightmare scenario. I hope it gets sorted out before then. Fascinating story. I saw this yesterday, Rolien. UN published a report that is actually blaming the BDS for rising anti-Israel sentiment, and linking it to anti-Semitism. What's the story there?
Well, first of all, it's quite extraordinary. I mean, when we talk about the UN, and we spoke the other day that Israelis deem the UN in the least favorable light. In fact, we're the country that deems the UN in the least favorable light. And because of all these anti-Israel resolutions, because of this almost obsessive focus on Israel at the expense of other conflicts around the world, and some of us are even saying that it's become institutionalized anti-Semitism. But on Monday, the UN released an interim report by their special rapporteur. His name is Ahmed Shahid, which blasts the United Nations for its stance on BDS and also promotes the role that the UN plays in promoting anti-Semitism. So the report, which is called Combating Anti-Semitism to Eliminate Discrimination and Intolerance Based on Religion or Belief, which is a very long name for a report, this was presented to the Human Rights Council, which we know is extremely anti-Israel. And it's come on the back of a speech by the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres about anti-Semitism and religious freedom. And what's very, very interesting is that the report doesn't just look at BDS. It also looks at white supremacism, neo-Nazism, you know, the far right or the alt-right, as it's being called today, but it also examines radical Islamic groups and the kind of incitement of hatred, as well as what we call left-wing anti-Semitism. And this is where BDS falls firmly into that category. And the report says that the objectives, the activities, and the effects of the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement are fundamentally anti-Semitic. And Shahid,
powerful.
The special rapporteur, says that international law recognizes boycotts as constituting legitimate forms of political expression, and that nonviolent expressions of support for boycotts are, as a general matter, legitimate speech that should be protected. He says, however, when that draws upon anti-Semitic stereotypes and rejects the right of Israel to exist, or advocates discrimination against Jewish individuals because of their religion, then we are talking about a whole different kind of ballgame.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic that that has been recognized at long last, because I defy anybody to show me a BDS march anywhere in the world where there haven't been slogans like "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." I mean, it's there. People just choose to ignore it. So, yeah, good on the UN, finally.
Well,
really.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the examples that's the freshest that comes to mind is yesterday a statement about BDS, because the Clover deal is moving forward in favor of Israel, an Israeli company that's purported to buy out Clover. And one of the things they've said is that they want to have a militant, peaceful protest. What is a militant peaceful protest? And we know from the past, members of the community have been physically manhandled by members of BDS. They've used terminology that has been violent. We just have to look at places around the world where it's not just "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." We've seen the calls for the removal of Jews from countries, and you know, that's hardly very peaceful.
Related to that was the Malaysian PM. He spoke at Columbia University, anti-Semitic tirades. He defended his position today, I believe.
Yes, he says that, you know, when you say you cannot be anti-Semitic, there is no free speech. And what is horrific is that the students that he was addressing seem to applaud in appreciation. And, you know, yesterday we just touched a bit on his comment. Now that we've had overnight to digest it and have his speech be analyzed and more details come to light, he's kind of hiding behind free speech. And I would want to ask Columbia the following: would you allow a neo-Nazi or the head of ISIS to speak on your campus and hide that behind free speech? I mean, we know that there's a fine line between hate speech and free speech according to some laws, which is appalling on its own. But why does a university like Columbia, why does it have to give a platform to somebody who they know is an anti-Semite? You know, you don't, you can say that it's free speech, that's, you know, you within your legal right, but why do you have to give them a platform?
Rolene Marks, we are not going to speak to you until after New Year. Until Wednesday. Wednesday. So to you and your
until
family.
Until Wednesday, guys.
Yeah. Shana Tova.
Shana Tova to you guys, to our listeners thank out you, there. May it be a peaceful year. May you be inscribed for a wonderful 5780.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Rolene Marks. Shana Tova, Umetuka, and Shabbat Shalom.